and they stayed in touch. She lived in Helsinki in Finland. Obviously, my sister grew up in Wales, so you know they would write to each other almost every week, and they're still best friends today. My brother made some of his closest friends during playing for the school rugby team. You know, even though many years on, he's still in touch with them. I don't have to tell you guys this, but you know, friends are really important. I'm sure in school, or perhaps in acting or music or sport, whatever it is, where your friends are, even here, friendship is really important. It's important in all areas of life, and we see it. We see it in books and films, don't we? I mean, these four guys, you know, Sam, Frodo, Merry and Pippin, as they're on their adventure to destroy the ring and kind of get rid of the evil in the world. It's the fellowship of the ring. It's these friends as they go on this journey. That's a really important part, particularly Sam and Frodo, their friendship. I'll quote it now, but Harry Potter, I mean, Harry, Ron and Hermione.
He's one of Ben's favourite films.
Yeah, he's my favourite.
He's like a base.
But actually, the books particularly, I don't know if you've read the Harry Potter books or just seen the films, but if you've read the books, the friendships in the books are really nice. I mean, I remember growing up reading these books, just thinking, wow, I wish I had friends.
Looking like class about expense and have swords and slay people.
Alright. But we do see every books or TV programmes, whatever it is, we see friendships and we think, you know, we almost want to be friends with those people or kind of share the experiences and the adventures that they have. So friendships are just important in all areas. Two guys that might be a little bit less famous, a guy called Jonathan and a guy called David, who are two great friends, young men. They were the best of friends. They fought side by side, so maybe a bit like my grandfather, his closest friends were major in the Second World War. They fought side by side, a friendship forged on the battlefield. They had so much in common, they loved the same things. In fact, they were so committed to each other that they were more closer even, than their families, to each other than to their families. So Jonathan was closer to David than he was to his own father. David was closer to Jonathan than he was to his own brothers. And we learn about this friendship and just how close it was. They were committed to one another and really close. And these two guys, you may have guessed, are two guys from the Bible, King David and Jonathan, who is his best friend. If you have a look at all the verses on that little sheet, it's two different sides, but the side that says there's bad Bible passages at the top. And there's that first verse at the very top, 1 Samuel 20, verse 17. We read this about their friendship. And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. We see that they'd made an oath together, and the oath was to protect one another's lives and to protect the lives of their families if something was to happen to one of them. It's a really close thing. And the love that they had, the closeness of their relationship, was that they loved each other as they loved themselves. Really close. And the Bible has a lot to say, and that's just one verse, but a lot to say about their friendship in particular. But it's not the only thing the Bible has to say about friendship. One thing the Bible has lots to say about friendship. Right in the Garden of Eden, we have this idea of God walking in the Eden with Adam and Eve. Now, this idea of walking in the Bible is the idea of friendship. And it kind of makes sense as a picture to us, doesn't it? Because we're walking along with a friend by our side. We're on a journey together to the same destination, sharing life as we do it. And so walking in the Bible is a picture, a word picture, for friendship. And overwhelmingly, as we read the Bible, obviously, I don't have read on tonight, so I can't talk about everything the Bible says about friendship, but the Bible overwhelmingly celebrates friendship. We all think it's important, our culture thinks it's important, but perhaps most importantly, the Bible thinks it's absolutely important, not least of all because God made us for friendship. Friendship with him, he made us to walk with him, to know him, to be friends with him first and foremost, but also to be friends with one another. And so the friends that you have, your closest friends, they're a wonderful thing. That's something that the Bible celebrates. Having said all of that, not everything is as it should be. I don't know if you can look at this statue and imagine what it would look like if it was in perfect condition. All of these damage and worn and kind of pock marks and things, they were gone away. It was just perfect as it should be. It would be beautiful, wouldn't it? It's not that it's not beautiful now. You can still see what it would be like, but it's not as it should be. There is something beautiful there, but it's not as it should be. And that's a little bit what our world is like now, because we were made to walk with God, to be friends with him, But we turned our back on him. And as a result of that, the world isn't as it should be. Friendship isn't as it should be. It's beautiful, it's glorious, but it's not as it should be. And so I'm just going to read a couple of examples, of perhaps, of ways in which friendship isn't quite as it should be. They're for made-up people. I'm sorry if your name is one of them, I don't think it is. Not to allow that to be the case. But for made-up people, and maybe you can identify, perhaps, with the way in which friendship in these people's lives isn't quite as it should be. So I want to introduce you to a guy called John. He's just finishing year 7, and his friendship group is constantly changing. They're very quick to kick people out of their friendship group. As soon as somebody becomes unpopular in the friendship group, they're out, nobody wants anything to do with them, and on Facebook, horrible things can be said about them. And he's often really hurt by what people say about him, but also some of his other friends. So that's John. Jacob is in year 12. He's really popular both at school and at church. He's a rugby captain for the school's first rugby team, and he's also really stuck into church, but he behaves really differently depending on which group of friends he's with. At school, he's one particular way, and with his church friends, he's quite different. And even though he has a lot of friends, increasingly, he feels that neither group really know or understand him. So we've got John, we've got Jacob, Claire. Claire's about to start year 9. She's quite shy. She's got some really good friends at church who she's known for a while, and she does have a small group of friends at school as well, but she often feels quite afraid of sharing too much about her son with her friends at school. Because church plays such a big part in her life, she's afraid of sharing about Jesus and what he means to her and to her friends at school. Afraid of what her friends will think of her. So John, Jacob, Claire, and Martha. Martha's in year 11. She's bravely taken a stand as a Christian in her RE lesson. She's pretty open with her friends that she is a Christian and that actually they need to trust in Jesus to be forgiven for themselves. And it sounds great and rosy, she's got the bravery to do it, but actually it isn't quite as she hoped. Her friends have kind of pushed her away a little bit. She is still friends with them, but she feels a little bit isolated. They don't invite her out perhaps quite as much as they used to, and actually she can feel quite lonely at times. I mean, those are just four made-up people, and I don't know if you can identify perhaps with any of them, but they are examples of the way in which friendship, which was made by God to be a beautiful thing, a great thing, friendship with him and with one another, actually isn't quite as it should be. And particularly as Christians, it can be hard at times. Well, we're going to think about one thing that the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us loads of things about how to be good friends. We're going to think about one thing that we can, I think, particularly struggle with to be a good friend in our culture, and that is to be close friends. That's what we're going to be thinking about. How to be a close friend. It's really important. Have a look at your sheets. I think it's the second verse down in that section of Bible passages. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. I'll just read it out. One who has unreliable friend soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The Bible describes friends and friendship as close. Someone that sticks close. And again, think about the picture of walking, which the Bible uses so often to describe friendship. That walking together, it's a closeness. You're not pretending to be somebody that you're not as you're walking along the road with somebody on a common, you're on a journey. You're not pretending to be someone you're not. You're not hiding a really important part of your life as you're walking along the road. No, you're being open, you're being honest. You're sharing your life with this person, your friend, as you're close to them, walking on a journey together. That's the picture the Bible gives us for what friendship should be like. Friendship should be close. And I'll ask you, do you think that your friendships are close? Think perhaps of bringing your friends from school home with you, or perhaps to church or to youth club. Would they be surprised about how you relate to people at church? How you speak to them? The kind of things that you do? Perhaps not, but maybe do it the other way around. Perhaps your friends from church, imagine taking them to school with you, or to the cinema, or skating, or whatever it is that you're doing with your friends from school, and imagine them watching you interact with your friends at school. Would there be a massive difference between those two things? Perhaps not. But I think that often we're in danger of treating different groups of friends very differently, and actually almost being two different people. One person with our church friends, one person with our school friends. And there's a real danger of not being, thinking about that close friendship, walking together, not actually sharing openly who we are. And that's going to be quite challenging to do that, to share openly who we are. So thinking about John, the guy whose friends are so quick to ditch the unpopular kids. Well, if he's friends with the unpopular kids, and suddenly they were, well, they were popular, now they're suddenly unpopular, for John to be faithful to what the Bible's teaching us about close friendship, he's not going to, on a whim with his friends, join them in treating this unpopular kid awfully, but actually, he's going to keep being close to them, keep being friends, even though that kid's unpopular. Perhaps Jacob and Claire as well, both of them afraid, really, of what people will think of them in school. Perhaps Jacob taking losing popularity, and Claire afraid that the few friends she does have will reject her, because actually believing in Jesus is a bit awkward, a bit weird. And so for them, it's going to be costly for them to be open as they're walking closely with their friends, sharing what is a really important part of their life. I remember a story of a guy called Rico Tice. Now, Rico Tice, an unusual name, he's a minister in London, absolutely huge rugby player. He used to play rugby for Oxford University, one of the best rugby teams in the UK. And he was the only Christian on the rugby team. Okay, and there was one of the guys on the rugby team who thought, this guy, maybe he'll become a Christian. So, and this is a while ago, so he gave him a tape with a talk on it. You all know what tapes are, right? Yeah, cassette tape, right? Not right, yeah, anyway. But so he gave him this tape, and the tape had a talk on it about the importance of trusting in Jesus to be saved from our sin, so that we don't go to hell, but rather go to heaven. It was a really clear talk, and his friend listened to it, and was really interested, actually, in what he was saying. And Rico Thomas didn't know this at the time, but his friend had started giving the tape to other people, to some of the other guys on the rugby team. And Rico Thomas didn't know that. Anyway, Rico Thomas was walking down the street in Oxford one day, and he sees this massive 6'7" guy walking towards him, who's a rugby player on his team in the second row. Absolutely raging, really angry. He's like, oh, yeah, something's got under his mind. He stops to speak to him, see if he's alright. He's like, Rico, I used to think we were friends. I used to think you liked me. But now I see you don't care about me. In fact, I think almost that you hate me. And Rico's thinking, goodness, what have I done? You know, I think I've said anything to this guy. I think I've done anything to offend him. And what happened was, the friend that he'd given attention to had passed that tape on to this guy. He listened to the talk, and he realised, if Rico really believed that without Jesus, he was going to go to hell, he was like, how can you call me a friend and not involve me in this? If this is the most important thing in your life, how on earth can you not have told me about it? Are you really my friend? That's what God was thinking. He was raging because he thought he was good friends with Rico. And so from that moment on, Rico really endeavoured to make sure with all of his friends, all the people he was close to, he would be open and close and honest, sharing all of his life. Not hiding parts that he thought might be embarrassing, but being open, allowing all the parts of his life to be shared with those that were around him. And actually, being close isn't just important with our non-Christian friends, it's absolutely vital with our Christian friends. Think a little bit about, what was the name of the girl? Sorry. Martha, okay. Martha, the girl who's taken a stand for Jesus at school, but actually felt isolated and pretty lonely as a result of it. Christian friendship is so important, particularly for Martha, but for all of us. Because if she's feeling isolated at school, now most of our time is spent at school, the few times that we do meet together in youth club, a church, whatever it is, it's so important that we're investing in one another as our Christian friends, so that we're able to keep one another going, sharing arms and being close with each other, so that when we're like Martha, perhaps being isolated at school because we've had to make a stand and our friends are maybe finding that difficult, or whatever it is, we're able to have one another and good friends there. The Bible actually calls us brothers and sisters. And as brothers and sisters, anyway, so a wonderful picture, but just a challenge for us. A challenge for us. Now, we thought a little bit, didn't we, about how, you know, God made these friendships to be wonderful, but actually, the reality is that they can be hard, and we've seen in these different people's lives how they can be hard. What is going to motivate and empower us to be able to be close friends with people, even if it costs us? What's going to be able to help John be friends with that kid that's unpopular at school, even if it means becoming unpopular himself? What's going to help Jacob be willing to lose popularity in order to tell people about Jesus, or Claire tell people about Jesus, or what's going to be able to help Martha get up in the morning, knowing she's going to get to school, feeling pretty lonely and isolated? What's going to be able to empower and strengthen, not just them, but us, as we seek to be close friends and share our lives openly and honestly with those around us? I'm not sure if that's not. What's going to empower us? Well, I want us to think and have a look at John chapter 15, which we've got verse at the bottom of your sheets. John chapter 15, verse 18. I think this is a helpful answer for what's going to empower that kind of friendship. So reading from that bottom verse. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is Jesus speaking. And he's calling his disciples his friends. And he's showing us that he is the perfect, the one who is willing to lay down his life for us. We thought at the beginning, didn't we, that God made us to be his friends, to walk with him, but that we turned our backs on God. Now, normally in friendships, I don't know if you've ever turned your back on your friend, but normally, if you turn your back on your friend turns their back on you. But God doesn't do that. He made us to know him. He doesn't turn our back on us. But he doesn't turn his back on us when we turn our back on him. In fact, he sent Jesus in order to make us friends with him again. We saw this in John's Gospel last term. Jesus, who was God's friend, gave up that friendship so that we, who were God's enemies, could become God's friends. Jesus, who was God's friend, gave up that friendship in order that we, who were his enemies, could become God's friends. He laid down his life for us, is how this verse talks about it. And I think that that makes an absolutely huge difference to our friendships. Okay, so lots of eggs in a basket. I want you to think of our friendships as eggs, okay? And I want you to think of all of the friendships you have with every single person that you're friends with in a basket. Now, if something goes wrong with the basket, then that's going to cause a lot of damage to those friendships, isn't it? And we're going to want to be very protective of our friendships if that's the case. And so we're probably going to be unwilling to say anything for Jesus because we're worried that our friendships are going to get damaged. We're going to be worried about hanging out with the unpopular kids because our friendships with the popular kids are going to get damaged. But I think that if we have Jesus as our friend, that absolute security of relationship, he was willing to give his life for us that we may be eternally his friends as we were meant to be, then I think that we won't be so afraid of losing relationships. It's a stupid picture, I'm sorry, but it's an egg, in case you can't see, and this is a kind of a vault which is basically secure against a nuclear attack. Okay, so, you know, you can shut that door, a nuke could go off, and you're safe, you're fine, your egg is okay. Sorry, but it's such a stupid picture. But the point is, imagine if you don't just have all of your friendships in that one basket, but actually you have the most important friendship, absolutely, utterly secure, because he's the kind of friend who is closer than a brother, through thick and thin. He's already died for you so that you can be friends with him. He's that kind of friend. And I think if we have that absolute security of friendship, then we're going to be much more willing to be close to our friends, sharing our lives with them. I think that John is going to be much more willing to be friends with the unpopular kids, because suddenly popularity just isn't quite as important as it was before. It's not that it's totally unimportant, but he actually has the most special friend that he could ever want. So a friend who's willing to die for him. Jacob and Claire, who are afraid of losing friends or losing popularity because of sharing about Jesus, are going to be much more willing to do that, because suddenly popularity just isn't as important. They have a friend in Christ, one who's willing to die for them, who's closer than a brother. And the same for Martha. She's already given up friendship. And wonderfully, even though she feels lonely, she has a friend in Christ who she can always turn to. And so I think that as we become friends with Christ, it gives us a security in our friendship, which means we're willing to obey that call to be close friends, sharing all of our lives as we walk side by side with people. So what have we seen? Sorry, we've covered a lot. What have we seen? We've seen that God celebrates friendships. He made us for them. But the world isn't as it should be. Our friendships are hard. How are we going to be close friends in a world where friendships are hard? We're going to be best friends with Christ, trusting in him, trusting that he lost his friendship with God so that we who were God's enemies could become friends with God. And as we have that absolute security of friendship, we're going to be willing to have close friends and share honestly who we are because we have that security of friendship with Jesus. Why don't I just pray and give thanks for that? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus, that he died in my place, gave his life.